Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this interview segment, which takes place 8:30 to 9, as you know. And today we have a special guest, and that is Professor Yaqub Dawood Didat, mashallah, from Zambia. Mufti Sabit met him during this last journey towards Zambia. Let's welcome our honorable guest. Remember the date today is the 23rd of Safar, 1446. Professor Didat, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
Pleased to have you on our program. How's the conditions, the weather in Zambia? Everything's okay that side?
Alhamdulillah, the weather is very fine. And before we begin, I must give credit and thanks to Mufti AK 255, Daman Barakatuh, for giving me this opportunity to be on air with you.
Alhamdulillah. We've Mufti Sahib has given us few topics to discuss, and we have chosen, and we said we're interested in the field of entomology. And this year, Professor, you are firmly rooted in the skills and this knowledge, so you can share with us as well. Before we go to that, inshallah, you can just give us a bit of a background history about your details, how you got to Zambia and got into this field of entomology as well, where you studied, what drove you to have this interest.
Okay. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Actually, I was born here and I'm a Zambian. And then I undertook a BSc degree in agriculture at our university, University of Zambia. And the university had a staff development program so that at the end of the degree, they would select three of the top students and send them abroad for further studies so that they could come back and become lecturers and professors in our own university. Mm. So that is how I got to do the further studies. Now, as far as the aspect of entomology is concerned, this program was a bilateral program with Canadian International Development Agency. And when they came, they selected us and they told me that in the field of agriculture, there were only two openings, that is plant pathology and entomology. Okay. So what I did, I took a paper, wrote entomology on another paper, pathology, put it in a cup and do it. And say, I told myself that with the help of Allah, whichever one comes out, that will be my field.
Okay. So entomology came out.
Yeah, so entomology came out, and then I went abroad, and they introduced me to the field of to the science of entomology, and then I undertook that particular profession, and particular specialization of entomology.
Mm. And it is a different field which we generally don't turn much of our attention towards. Many teenagers, they are also confused of their future. Professor, would you advise them to pursue such a qualification, knowing that you've been in it for so long? What's your advice on this?
Yes, first of all, my advice is that the student or whoever wants to undertake any profession, not necessarily entomology, any profession, first of all, that person, taking myself aside, must be interested in that profession to be able to advance. Now, the science of entomology is a very specialized area, and I would not recommend that our students undertake that because the area is limited and the job opportunities are limited, unless, of course, one is guaranteed the job before he undertakes a profession.
Okay. And you're just reflecting on your, I know that Mufti Sahib did tell us that you are retired now, Professor. So prior to this, would you be lecturing, or what was your day like before this, before your retirement?
Okay. Right. So after completing my PhD, In fact, before undertaking the PhD, we were already employed by the university as staff development within the staff development program. So after I finished my studies, I came back and then I started lecturing. And I lectured in the field of entomology for almost 27 years.
Okay. And that's ideally, that's what we see, that when you want to understand something, you explain it to someone else and you get a better understanding of it yourself. So can you just break it down for the general listener? What is entomology, the ABCs of it?
Okay. Basically, entomology means the science of studying insects. Now, many people study insects in different ways, but this is a scientific way of studying the insects. And what the real issue here is that we want to know insects. Are they all, for example, are they all harmful? Then it comes to our understanding and knowledge that indeed only 30% of the known insects are harmful. The rest are not harmful, and many of them, in fact, are very beneficial, like the honeybees. And these insects, you know, our chariot in many of the bayans, our ulama say that there are 18,000 creations created by Allah, and insect is only one creation. And in insects alone, there are 1 million and over species that have been known, identified, and studied. And the scientists say that over another million of those species are yet to be discovered, identified, and studied.
That's just how vast Allah Azawajal's creation is. And would you say, if you just to tie this in, if you see Allah Azawajal mentions in the verse of the Quran Sharif that tafakkur inna fi khalqi as-samawati wal ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahari la ayatin li ulil albab, that surely in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of night and day, these are major, major signs for the men of intelligence. And these الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. They ponder and they wonder at the end of it. They ponder and they wonder over the creation of Allah. And as you've mentioned, insects is part of the creation of Allah. Through this journey of yours, Professor, did it really turn your iman to that spiritual, turn your spirituality on to that, to say that from such a small creature, how you get to know of the wonders of Allah Azawajal? We've heard people speak, just a whole talk just on the end. We've heard talks on the fly on all of this here. Professor, perhaps you can give us your feedback on this particular topic, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. You know, the science of entomology is vast, and to study the insects and to understand the insects takes a long, long time. But several things made me think about the greatness and the kudrat of Allah. Number one, a small ant is able to lift 10 times its own weight and carry it comfortably to wherever it wants to. No man, despite taking steroids, would be able to lift 10 times his own weight. That in itself tells you the kudrat of Allah. The second thing is that many a times you must have seen a beetle flying fast, hitting against the wall, and then dropping, and then taking off again. If a human were to be propelled on the same weight and body proportion, if he were to be hit, if he were to hit a wall, he would collapse forever. Now, one begins to wonder how this is possible. And this is only possible because Allah has given these insects an outer skeleton and not an inner skeleton. Another thing that I came across is that, you know, Isa alayhi salam was born without the benefit of a father. There are no insects for which no males are known, yet they keep on multiplying. And another thing that I came across, there is a particular insect known as aphids most of them, many a time they are found on roads and so forth. These particular insects, they like to feed on the newly developing leaves. Now, once their population reaches a certain level, they are wingless. But they are wingless, they are feeding on the plant. But when the population becomes overcrowded, then a few of them develop wings and move away so that they would go and establish a colony elsewhere so that the population does not crash. Mm. These are some of the things that maybe really increased my iman.
Mm-hmm. Inspiring indeed. And there's a question here, and that is on in Surah An-Naml, that is chapter 27 of the Quran Sharif. Allah Azza wa Jal dedicates an entire chapter name to such a small creation. Sometimes we are stamping on it, sometimes we, as you've mentioned about the ant. We've heard, and we can tie it in with the verse of the Quran Sharif, which is mentioned in Surah An-Naml, that is verse number 18, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the ant's worry and the ant had this concern. The verse is, قَالَتْ نَمْلَةٌ, the ant said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّمْلُ, O ants, أُدْخُلُوا مَسَاكِنَكُمْ, enter into your dwelling places. This verse here, we've heard from various people that if you take this verse, verse 18 of Surah An-Naml, that is chapter 27, and if you've got a lot of ants, say on your in your cabinet or anywhere in your home, that particular place, you respectfully write down this verse or you print it out. Nowadays it's easy, and you stick it on the wall. And reports have shown from various people who have done this, they said the ants go back into their homes and they don't disturb. My question to you, Professor, is this, that ants, we've heard, they are social creation. They love to interact with one another. And you could see when we analyze and we see if, when one ant, it goes to the next and it discovers something, it will call the next, and they keep on moving like this. Perhaps you can give us your analysis on this to make us understand what's that movement all about. What are they discussing? How do they communicate with one another?
In fact, up to now, many scientists have tried to understand and the language. For example, when I was studying the PhD, there was one student who was trying to understand the language of the crickets. But then how they communicate, it is only Allah who knows. Allah is the one who controls. And these ants are interesting. When they are moving, there is a certain chemical they release known as folic acid. And it is because of that particular acid that these ants are able to follow each other to wherever they want to go. And there are different systems. For the ants, they are interesting because they live underground. We take the honeybee. The honeybee, when it goes to foraging for the pollen, when it comes back, it is able to precisely tell the other honeybee exactly where to go, at what distance to turn, and where to go, and which flower to pick the nectar from. These are the kudrats of Allah. And you know, in science, whenever you are not able to explain anything scientifically, they label it as phenomenon. So when they say phenomenon, we must understand that that is the kudrat of Allah.
Mm-hmm. Professor, there are other questions as well. I think on another occasion we would like to discuss about plants. But from your experiences till now, what are the other amazing aspects? We've noticed also that farmers, this is another question that we wanted to pose to you, Professor. Farmers now, and you've mentioned in the beginning, that only 30% of insects are harmful. So generally, when we see an insect in our kitchen, we attach it to maybe perhaps something we are unhygienic, and then we call those to come in, the pesticides to come and clean up the whole area, smoke the whole area. Is it really a bad thing to have insects in your home? and what drives these insects to come in the home? Perhaps you can share with us a little bit on this.
Okay, generally in our homes and kitchens, what drives them is that food that is there, and that food produces some kind of a smell, and because of that smell, these insects and flies and so forth are attracted. Generally, these are labeled as nuisance insects, meaning that they do not cause serious harm, but because of the nature of the human being, he wants to be away from this. He doesn't want to see any of these insects. And to the farmer also, the only good insect is a dead insect, but that is not the real case. There are many that will help. Okay, in the houses, I agree that one would not want to have flies around because of the fact that some of them are vectors of certain medical problems such as dysentery and so forth.
Yes, so in South Africa as well, currently the farmers, they initially thought that, you know what, let's remove these insects because they are harmful. But when they remove them, and because they felt they are a threat to their crops and that, now they discovered the benefits that these insects bring about. Because I was just, in fact, before I even got to know of you, Professor, I was checking last week that we were speaking on it on air, the benefits that insects bring. And some of it is pertaining to the hygiene of those particular crops. They're killing other pests and they're assisting in this field. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't create anything, but there is some purpose to it. What would you say are those benefits?
Yes, you know, in professional entomology, the aim of targeting insects is based on what is known as integrated pest management, which means that chemicals should be the last resort, use other methods. And insects have been used to control other insects. Insects have been used, for example, in Australia, there was a serious problem of cattle dung accumulating in the areas. And what they found out, that in the Serengeti Plains, despite having so many of these wildebeest and buffaloes, there was no accumulation of dung. So then they found out that what was causing the disintegration of the dung was certain type of beetles. So they picked up these beetles, reared them in millions, and released them, and they were able to claim back the land. So when you look at an insect, for a farmer, like I said, for a farmer, is a good insect is a dead insect. But the level and the economic damage that insects cause is after a certain population. So there is a tolerance of these populations with regard to insects in the various crops.
I'm also interested in, and I think the listeners would also be interested, is how do you go about understanding these creatures? Is it through the vibrations, or is it, how do you actually, in your field, how were you conducting these investigations and studies?
Okay, mostly, the little I know about is with reference to the honeybee, and then they put them on a special system and equipment, and on the number of wing beats, they are able to communicate with each other. And on the number of wing beats, they are able to tell the other honeybee as to which way to go, what to do, and so forth. But to really understand the language of the insect, that is beyond, I think, in my opinion, beyond human capacity. It is only the Qudrat of Allah, and only Allah knows best.
Allahu Akbar. With regards to the honeybee, is it true that if a honeybee stings a human being, it dies after that?
Right. And what happens is that, yes, it has a sting, which is a protective defensive mechanism for the honeybee. So as soon as it is able to release that, then it does not live long. That is a fact. But more interesting than that is that if a honeybee has gone foraging looking for nectar, and when it gets back, to its place where the other honeybees are, if it is carrying any dangerous or polluted thing on its body, the soldiers, before allowing it to enter the hive, that bee is killed.
Allah.
Now, who is telling these bees? Who is telling the soldiers that this one is contaminated and this one is not? Who is doing this? And we don't have to go very far, man. These bees, they've got special pockets within which they collect their pollen. And this pollen is the one that they do cross-pollination with. If the honeybees were not there, many, many of the monoecious crops would not be able to produce any fruit.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah.
This, with the honeybee also, if you can, Professor, if you can just explain to us a little bit about the queen bee, what's her objective, how does she find her place? Maybe just a few facts on this.
There is what is known as royal jelly. This is fed on a particular honeybee, and that bee then becomes the queen. And the job of the queen is only to produce other honeybees. And what is interesting is that in the science, they have tried to introduce chemicals through the honeybees themselves, which would take it to the queen, and that if you kill the queen, then you have destroyed that particular population. But you know what happened. But again, the kudrat of Allah. The moment the queen feels that she is going to die or something wrong has happened, that queen produces this royal jelly and gives it to one other honeybee, and that will then take over to ensure that the population does not crash.
According to your studies, Professor, and perhaps this will be amongst our last few questions, that scientists have tried to produce the likes of honey. And how does this, as you've mentioned, the purity and this factory is just amazing, that as you were speaking, it's made some of our particular hair stand, because this is the kudrat of Allah Azza wa Jal, that they actually go through this like a sanitization process. You can't enter, you can't enter. So, but scientists have also tried on their own and in other ways to produce honey. Did they even ever come close to this?
No, they've never come close to it, and they will never come close to it. Just like a person trying to produce milk, they will never come close to it. These are kudrats of Allah. Those people who have got iman, they will be able to quickly accept and understand. Nothing can be, and as far as insects are concerned, today, despite the advancements of science, technology, and all other things, no individual, no institute, no organization, no nation has ever been able to extinguish remove a particular species of insect from this earth. And the beauty about these insects is that we humans, we are on the ground, but these insects have conquered the realms of the water, the earth, the air, and everything else.
It's so interesting to know this as well, that it was a month back, I think. I'll get the dates if I can immediately. But Netanyahu, he was going to the U.S. and he was staying at a particular place. The hotel where he was staying at, he was booked to stay at, all of a sudden became infested with insects. And he was there to push him to another place to stay. And This year we say, when we go into the qabr as well, these insects, it's going to serve as a punishment for certain people. And this was, it's a fact, it's a reality confirmed by that particular hotel in the US, that this hotel was infested prior to his arrival. And as you've been mentioning and making it concrete to us, that this is the Qudrat of Allah, and Allah Azawajal says in various places of the Quran Sharif that only He knows His armies. And these, as you've said as well, these are the armies. And they know exactly, they operate sometimes by the command of Allah Azawajal. In fact, their total living existence is by the command of Allah.
Now, my time is coming up, but I want to mention one or two things regarding those young students who are aspiring to undertake any profession. The gateway and the road to success are only two things. One, whenever a student wants to undertake, he must make sure that his parents are happy with him, and he must make as much khidmat as possible to the parents. Because the parents' du'as, there are no veils. And once the parents make du'a, definitely that person or that student is going to shine outstandingly, both inshallah in this world and in the world hereafter. And that student who enters the examination hall, before he enters, our Sharia tells us that pray two rakat salatul fajr and ask Allah for his help. And tell Allah that, Allah, I've done my part. You know the question and you know the answer, and help me. And then he must open the question paper with Bismillah. I can assure you, he will never go wrong.
We appreciate your time, Professor. I just checked now. That hotel name was Watergate Hotel. You can see it on MSN, Sama, all these channels on their websites as well. Hundreds of maggots, mealworms, and crickets were released at the Watergate Hotel. That was that Wednesday when the Israeli prime terrorist Benjamin Netanyahu was staying during his visit to Washington, D.C. So that was maggots, mealworms, and crickets were released at that while he was staying there, in fact.
So this is from straightforward. This is from Allah. Allah wants to disgrace a person while he is going to a place where he thinks he will be honored.
Professor, we'll have to have you again, inshallah. Maybe we can discuss plants on another occasion, inshallah. We appreciate a lot of things, facts learned, and mashallah, Allah Azawajal, bless you, your family.
I just want to relate one final thing.
Okay.
And that is, you know, I have a PhD. And at one place, we went, and some guy asked me, what does PhD mean? And I said, PhD means Doctor of Philosophy. But after coming back and studying, and after getting some little diet, PhD now for me means Pella Hamaradi.
Allah.
And every coin has two sides. So the other side of the coin, feel Hamari Dunya. If one wants to be successful, put Deen first.
Those words need to be written in gold, Professor. Pehla Hamare Deen. Pir Hamare Dunya.
Yeah.
MashaAllah.
Yeah, hey, Hamari PhD.
So for those who do not understand Urdu, first is our Deen, then is our Dunya. MashaAllah. Professor, interesting, intriguing conversation with you. Inshallah, you make dua for us. Jazakumullah khairan. The podcast will be prepared. We'll send it out.
And a pleasure. Jazakallah for giving me this airtime.
Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners, that was the topic, you could say, finding Allah Azawajal through insects. How inspiring.